We're not having our hymn tonight, so it's not Here We Are But Straying Pilgrims, but it's from the Word of God, and that's a wonderful thing that we have the Word of God for encouragement, for strength, for guidance, for protection, as we recognize our lurking foe, as we have just sung, that we're just straying pilgrims on the road to eternal life. And we hope and pray that we're all engaged in worship unto our God. As I mentioned this morning, that we were going to continue in talking about the world rejoices while the righteous suffer, as Jesus talked with his disciples, that the world is going to rejoice while you're going to grieve, but your grief will be turned into joy. As we looked at the examples of the world rejoices in killing Jesus, threatening his followers, as he continues to do today, and the righteous suffer persecution. They have a hatred for God's word, and we love our enemies, and we pray for them. They love evil, and they practice sin while we are practicing righteousness. Those who are worldly, they boast in their arrogance. The humble, the righteous, who are suffering, are humbling themselves under God's mighty hand. The world is rejoicing in pleasure, while the righteous are pleasing God. They are obeying him. And so as we think about the application of rejoicing with the world in its pleasures, are rejoicing along with the righteous who are suffering with Christ. As I talked about, we're going to talk more about tonight concerning the turnaround, how it's going to be, what the world is going to suffer in the future, while the righteous are going to rejoice in the end. Familiar passage of Scripture, as we notice the contrast in one single passage here concerning the Lord taking vengeance on the disobedient, while at the same time Christ is going to relieve the righteous of their afflictions. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul is thankful for these Thessalonian brethren, and we speak proudly of your perseverance and faith in all your persecutions and afflictions which you endure. This is an indication of God's righteous judgment, and here's the reason, so that you will be considered worthy of the kingdom of God, for which indeed you are suffering. For after all, it is only just for God to repay with affliction those who afflict you, for those who say that God is not righteous and God is not just and God is not holy. For those who want social justice now, go back to the Word of God and recognize concerning those who are suffering for the kingdom of God, here's a test of our faith. We can consider worthy of the kingdom of God. So God, it's only right for and just for God to repay with affliction those who afflict you and to give relief to you who are afflicted and to us as well. When is that going to happen? When the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. These will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power when he comes to be glorified in his saints on that day and to be marveled at among all who have believed. Why? For our testimony to you was believed. When most people aren't going to believe the testimony of the Lord and be obedient so as to suffer for the cause of Christ, most are not going to be willing to do that. The few that recognize concerning this is true, this is going to happen. He is going to repay those who afflict, those who are afflicting you. But it's not going to be right now, it's going to be later. And therefore the righteous will enjoy heaven in the after while. Notice concerning the world, everything is turned on its head. Where they're rejoicing before, now they are going to be weeping. In Matthew chapter 8, we could look at many passages of Scripture, especially in Matthew. There's at least three or four talking about this subject. In Matthew 8, verse 11 and 12, I say to you that many will come from east and west, Jesus said, and recline at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You think about the horror of doing that for the experiences that we can have for a very short and brief time on earth. Very likely, most of us, very likely have gone into the cave and they'll turn out the lights. And this is really spooky. It's a really difficult feeling where that the darkness that can be felt, it kind of reminds you of when in Egypt as far as darkness. And you think about that for all of eternity. The idea here is the suffering. Well, that's not even to go to the point concerning the weeping and gnashing of teeth. I mean, if you think about someone shrieking from the pain and agony of maybe being shot, or maybe some other kind of incident where they're suffering before they die, but it's never, ever going to end. And for those who are rejoicing before, and they're rejoicing over the opposition, rejoicing over the righteous, and think about concerning how foolish and sinful and evil the evildoers, they consider the righteous, and yet at the end they're going to be cast into utter darkness and suffer weeping and gnashing of teeth, which will never, ever end. Well, you know, the righteous, we weep now, but we know in the future God is going to wipe away all tears. Jesus said in a parallel passage to that Sermon on the Mount passage that we know from Matthew 5 through 7, Luke 6, verse 21. It isn't quite as familiar, but it fits. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you shall be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Who is going to, we think of that expression, who is going to have the last laugh in the end? We think about concerning that Jesus had spoke this, concerning we can't imagine the time that we're going to laugh. And you think about concerning the past and all the times of weeping and sorrow and suffering and the afflictions and persecutions that we have to endure. And yet at the end, Revelation 21 and verse 4, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. And you stop and you think about that time when little children or maybe grandchildren, and they're crying, and especially like the mother wipes away the tears of that little child. And we think about us being children of God, and that all that suffering and crying and mourning and pain, he has promised to wipe away all tears as the righteous enjoy eternal life, where there is no more pain or suffering. What a day of rejoicing that will be. When you think about the wicked are rejoicing now. In Revelation 21 and verse 8, the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, immoral persons, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Because you look at it from a physical standpoint concerning all these evil people, it doesn't seem like maybe there's being recompensed for their sins right now. All the lies that are being told in the name of religion, the false teachers out there, the false prophets out there, the politicians out there, those who are making merchandise of others and seemingly get away with it, the liars that get off because they're good, very good liars. And in the end, they're going to be suffering. Notice it. The scripture says, which is the second death. So there is a second death. There isn't just the one, well, and then it's all over. That's just the beginning of suffering. For in Mark chapter 9, in Mark chapter 9, verse 42 and following, Jesus said these words. He said, whoever causes one of these little ones who believe to stumble, it would be better for him if with a heavy millstone hung around the neck, he had been cast into the sea. Can you possibly imagine? If hell is not eternal, how would that make any sense at all? Well, it wouldn't make any sense at all. it would be better to drown in the depths of the sea. Be careful concerning causing others to stumble. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than having your two hands to go into hell and to the unquenchable fire where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. If your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than having your two feet to be cast into hell where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. If your eye causes you to stumble, throw it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Now I recognize concerning some will be foolish and they'll take this literally and, you know, cut off my hand and my foot and eye, or they say this is ridiculous what Jesus is saying here. And they're missing the whole point. He's trying to point out how horrible hell is. It is better to be physically crippled and maimed than to suffer eternal torment. So be careful that you don't cause others to stumble. These that are of the world, they're causing people to stumble all the time, and they don't care about that. And you might think about, wow, when is it going to be I turned around for me? It will. The Lord is going to take care of that. Because while the world is going to suffer hell, unending agony in the lake of fire, which will never end, the righteous are going to be jumping up and down for joy. In Luke chapter 6, in verse 22 and 23, Jesus said, "Blessed are you when men hate you and ostracize you and insult you and scorn your name as evil for the sake of the Son of Man." Well, certainly as you look upon it, that doesn't feel good. That makes me feel really, really bad. It makes me feel worthless. Well, see, you have all these voices in your head concerning being beat down over and over and over again. Well, we have the words of our Lord. And what does He say? You're not cursed. He said you are blessed when that happens. For what reason? Not because you're an evil person or a contradictory kind of a person or a hypocrite. No, for the sake of the Son of Man, for His cause. And He said, be glad in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For the same way their fathers used to treat the prophets. This is a continual pattern for them. So as you think about concerning you played any sport and it was a particularly important game, some kind of championship game, like you think about the World Series or the Super Bowl or the championship game, and they're jumping up and down for joy. And that's the kind of idea that Jesus wants us to get concerning leaping for joy while they are suffering eternal torment. So the whole thing about it is while you're going through that experience, you're not thinking about that while you're suffering. But you go back to the scriptures and recognize there is going to be a time for the faithful, for the righteous, are going to jump up and down for joy in that day. It's just not going to be now where the righteous will enjoy eternal life. In 1 Peter 1, verse 8 and 9, the Apostle Peter says, "By inspiration, though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And though you do not see Him now, but believe in Him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls." Because we believe in Christ, we trust in His promises and obey Him. He's going to keep His promises. He is going to be faithful. He never failed one single time. And we're going to hold on to that for all the rest of our lives and jump up and down for joy. Recognize we're going to be jumping up and down for joy while they're suffering eternal torment. In Philippians 2, verses 9 through 11, for those who would curse and profane His name and blaspheme His name and abuse their bodies, they're eventually going to bow down to Jesus. In Philippians 2, verses 9 through 11, as it talks in this passage concerning Jesus leaving heaven and humbling Himself to become obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. And He said, "For this reason also, Philippians 2, verse 9, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now, very likely, you know, you might bring this passage up to somebody. Yeah, you're going to, I'm never going to do that. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, they're going to do it, whether they realize it or not. But you know what? It's going to be too late for them. It's going to be too late for them. Is it going to be worth it as we think about bowing down, confessing Jesus Christ as the Son of God? Oh, yes. Oh, yes, every day of our life it's going to be worth it, because the humble are going to be vindicated by God. What's amazing, there are many more passages on. I was surprised at how many passages, because you think about the temptation that you might have when you are suffering and put one over on another person. And why can't we just do a little violence to somebody and make them suffer what we're suffering through? Now, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord, right? Romans 12. In Revelation 6 and verse 9 to 11, when the Lamb broke the fifth seal, I saw underneath the altar, the Apostle John speaking by inspiration, I saw underneath the altar the souls of those who have been slain because of what reason? Because of the word of God and because of the testimony which they had maintained. And they cried out with a loud voice, saying, how long, Lord, holy and true, will you refrain from judging and avenging our blood on those who dwell on the earth? And there was given to each of them a white robe, and they were told that they should rest for a little while longer, until the number of their fellow servants and their brethren, who were to be killed, even as they had been, would be completed also. Avenge our blood, Lord. They're slain because of the word of God. They are faithful. They are righteous. And they're given a white robe and told to wait. Revelation 11, verse 18. The nations were enraged, and your wrath came, and the time came for the dead to be judged, and the time to reward your bondservants, the prophets and the saints, and those who fear your name, the small and the great, and to destroy those who destroy the earth. In Revelation 18 and verse 20, rejoice over her, O heaven, and you saints and apostles and prophets, because God has pronounced judgment for you against her. As we think about, you know, Babylon and worldly representation of Babylon as the world, and you notice the contrast we've been studying, especially in from the Apostle John, concerning the world and the world. The whole world lies in the power of the evil one. But eventually, the tables are going to be turned so that you look on those who are going to confess Jesus as Lord, the world, and they're going to suffer eternal torment. The humble are going to be vindicated by God. And there's going to be regret. In Luke chapter 16, remember the rich man and Lazarus died. Lazarus just desired to have the crumbs which fell off the rich man's table. And the rich man ignored him, living in luxury all of his life. The scripture says, after he died in Hades, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and saw Abraham far away and Lazarus in his bosom. He said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus, so that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool off my tongue, for I am in agony in this flame. But Abraham said, Child, remember that during your life you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus bad things. But now look at it. The tables are turned. You look upon Lazarus and suffering, and he appears to be useless to the rich person for sure. And the rich man seemed like he has everything. And now it's turned. Now Lazarus, he is being comforted here, and you are in agony. Besides all this, between us and you, there is a great chasm fixed, so that those who wish to come over from here to you will not be able, and that none may cross over from there to us. there is no second chance after death. False teachers will tell you, you have a second chance. No, you don't. Because of this great chasm which is fixed, you can't cross over. Your fate is sealed. Well, okay, my fate's sealed. He said, then I beg you, Father, that you send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, in order that he may warn them. Very likely he knew his five brothers very well, and very likely he knew that they were probably like him, because he said, in order that he may warn them. Warn them about what? About this place of torment, so that they will not also come to this place of torment. But there is nothing that he could ever do to help his five brothers, because you only have while you're here upon this earth. So the eternal regret, not only of suffering eternal torment, but knowing very likely that his five brothers are going to follow him into eternal torment. I don't know how much he cared about anything or anybody else before this time, but now he is. I think it's interesting concerning that he asked Abraham to send Lazarus. He wanted a cool of heaven, just a dip of water to cool off his tongue because he was in agony. And then to send Lazarus to his father's house. Well, you know, Lazarus is being comforted. Don't wait. Don't delay to change your will for God's will. But while they have regret, the righteous are not going to have regret. There's going to be a rejoicing forever and ever. As we think about concerning those, especially those who talk about, I can't sing a tune out of a bucket, that you think about in heaven, and it's going to really matter. As you look upon singing and giving glory and thanks and honor to God in Revelation 4. In Revelation 4, verses 8 through 11, the scripture says, the four living creatures, each one of them having six wings, are full of eyes around and within. And day and night they do not cease to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, who was and who is and who is to come. And when the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, to him who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders will fall down before him who sits on the throne and will worship him who lives forever and ever and will cast their crowns before the throne, saying, worthy are you, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and because of your will they existed and were created. In Revelation 15, 3 and 4, they sang the song of Moses, the bondservant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are your works, O Lord God the Almighty. Righteous and true are your ways, King of the nations. Who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. For all the nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. Oh, how awesome that will be, to be in the presence of God. And to think about what the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2. Didn't have this on the screen. Ephesians chapter 2. Concerning that we were dead in our sins. And we've been raised to walk in newness of life from the dead, as we were buried with Christ in baptism. In Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2. He raised us up with him, verse 6, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the age to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. You think about it, maybe the greatest riches that you can possibly imagine on this earth, and nothing will compare with the glories of heaven. And praising him forever and ever. The world will suffer. And the whole thing is, you know what? If we decide to give up and we decide to conform ourselves to the world, that is going to be our reward or recompense. Too late to change your mind after death. Today, only today, is the day of salvation. I've heard that many times, and the Lord hasn't returned. I haven't died yet, but one day it's going to happen. Either we're going to die or the Lord's going to be returned. Are you ready for that day to come? Only a step. Come, for he bled for you and died. He is the same loving Savior yet, Jesus the crucified. One day it's going to be too cry, too late, and weeping and mourning for all of eternity. We look upon the still the time and opportunity, the door is open, for Jesus is still the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. The whole thing is, no matter how wicked you have been in the past, no matter what you have done, you can be forgiven of every single sin. We don't deserve that. But here we have the opportunity. He shed his blood on the cross for our sins. All we have to do is comply with his conditions of forgiveness. Jesus, by the grace of God, tasted death for everyone. The Apostle Peter preached the gospel, convicted them that they were sinners. Oh, what a terrible thing. The only thing is realizing that we are sinners, that there is a possibility of forgiveness. You think about those who are murderers having the opportunity to be forgiven. They deserve to be crucified on the cross like Jesus was. And yet Jesus prayed for them, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And 50 days later, the Apostle Peter preaches the first gospel sermon. And aren't we thankful as far as the God's plan of redemption is still open today? And the Apostle Peter, when they heard this, they had crucified the Son of God, they asked men and brethren, "What shall we do?" And they said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins." Has that gotten old to you? Hope and pray not. For that promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call to himself. Those who gladly received the word were baptized. You can gladly receive the word and be baptized for the remission of sins. Or if you need to be restored, this is the time, this is the opportunity. Only a step between you and death. As you think about David making that expression. Judgment day is coming. Are you ready? God calls. We encourage you to come right now as we stand and sing.